First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
To the Ed Springston Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringston.com, where you can research any of our investigations or get involved and check things out. While you're at LouisvillePolitics.com, I would ask you to do a couple of things. First, sign up for our email newsletter. We can send that out to you on a weekly or a monthly basis, whichever you prefer. Join our RSS feed for the radio show, and that will be delivered to your inbox automatically for those of you guys who listen to this on podcast. And finally, while you're there, hit that little donate button. Your donations are what help keeps us going on the air with the websites and everything else. We have not spent a great deal of time worrying about major advertisers, so we depend on you. So if you like our content, which you obviously do, or you wouldn't be here, then if you can, try to make a small donation to help out. We greatly appreciate it. For you guys that are new to the show, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334 are the phone numbers to call in. For those of you that are in the listening queue, we appreciate you as always, but please hit that number one on your dial pad if you want to be heard on air. And for everybody else, you can join us in the live chat. That's right. We keep a chat room open throughout the show right here, and you can join in there, make any comments you want to. You can also sign in using social media like Facebook and Twitter to make it easier and more convenient for you. With all of that said, it's time to get rolling. I tell you what, this show is... We come to you from all kinds of angles, and this is going to be no different of a night. You know, I keep being reminded every time I get ready to do a show of the movie Demo Man, and here's why, because this is what we all want.
Greed, deception, abuse of power, that's no plan. I'm the enemy, because I like to think. I like to read. I mean, it's a freedom of speech and freedom of choice. I'm the kind of guy who likes to sit in a greasy spoon and wonder, gee, should I have the T-bone steak or the jumbo rack of barbecue ribs with the side order of gravy fries? I want high cholesterol. I want to eat bacon and butter and buckets of cheese, okay? I want to smoke Cuban cigars the size of Cincinnati in a non-smoking section. I want to run through the streets naked with green jello all over my body reading Playboy magazine. Why? Because I suddenly might feel the need to, okay, pal? I've seen this. Do you know what it is? It's a 47-year-old virgin sitting around in his beige pajamas drinking a banana broccoli shake thinking I'm an Oscar Mayer wiener.
I hope you enjoyed that as much as I do, because I tell you, it seems like that's what it's all about these days. You know, they want us to be clones, they want us to do this, and our elected leaders are always the ones making decisions and stuff that will benefit them, you know, but in most places doesn't benefit us. With that said, I want to start the top of the show with this local story we brought to you last night. We talked about Metro Councilman Dan Johnson. You know, he is... basically bounced a couple of checks, has not paid off the debt, and is basically being publicly humiliated because there were lawsuits filed against him. The first one was with Edelin Jewelers in the amount of $2,600, a little over $2,600, plus the interest and court cost. And the second one was with Gus Goldsmith because Johnson bounced an $8,000 check. You know, according to Tom McAdam, Dan Johnson's attorney, he made an agreement with Edelin that's going to go ahead and pay back the money he owes there. So that's going to be taken care of. To our knowledge, there has been no agreement made with Gus Goldsmith. However, we keep getting more and more information about this whole thing. And really the biggest concern is Dan Johnson's legislative aide. Now, let me go on record here, folks. You know, there's a lot of things politically about Dan Johnson that I quite frankly can't stand. The NBA arena is one of them. I have chastised Dan Johnson publicly for that. Dan Johnson has actually, in his defense, come on air to try to defend his position on the NBA arena and other things. But at the same time, I'm not going to chastise Johnson, you know, over a check. I mean, really, truthfully, anybody who's ever had money trouble has probably bounced a check at one time in their life. So I'm not going to beat the hell out of him about that, but I do have questions. I do have questions. You know, primarily, you know, the argument for Dan Johnson is that, you know, he doesn't have the money, or he didn't have the money because he didn't pay, he didn't make enough money over the summer doing what he normally does, you know, which is selling knives and jewelries at flea markets, fairs, things like that. You know, because he was busy campaigning for re-election. However, Dan Johnson is running unopposed. As of May the 22nd of this year, there was no reason for Dan Johnson to worry about re-election. He won the primary, so he won his seat back. So that is a questionable, you know, defense, in my opinion. But at the same time, then you have to commend Dan Johnson, because one of the first things he did was request an audit from Council President Jim King to audit his office accounts so that he could reassure the people in his district that he hasn't been taking city money and he's been taking care of his elected duties. I find myself in a weird position at this point because I actually have to defend Dan Johnson in part on this. First, the negative. Dan Johnson, I would not use Jim King to audit your accounts. There are too many people out there and too many rumors about how close you and Jim King are when it comes to money. I'm not going to get into that tonight. However, I do agree that you should do an audit, as I think every Metro Council person should, have an audit done on every one of their accounts. You know, considering the situation with Judy Green, considering the Barbara Shanklin situation, considering Dan Johnson's personal finance situation at this point, I have no problem. I think we should have an automatic audit each and every year. In this particular case, I would recommend to Dan Johnson that he spend part of his discretionary funds and pay for an audit with an outside auditor away from the council to audit these accounts so that there is no question whatsoever to the validity of what they come up with. I personally think that would be a good use of non-discretionary funds. That's my opinion. You know, he is trying to reassure his district. I think auditing your books is a great way to reassure them. You get rid of the politics involved, thanks to the rumors about Dan Johnson and Jim King, the Metro Council president. So politics are out of it. The Metro Council is out of it. And he is doing this on behalf of his constituents, many of which have asked for this audit thanks to this story. So I totally agree with that. Now, where I side with Dan Johnson is this, folks. As many problems as I have with Councilman Dan Johnson, I also have to be honest here. Councilman Dan Johnson works his butt off on behalf of the people in his district. He really, really does. When you call Dan Johnson's office to get something done in your district, he is immediately on it. He spends time with the people in his district, and he does a fantastic job taking care of their problems. So as many problems as I might have with Dan Johnson on some of the stuff I think he's a lunatic about, make one thing clear. He does do a good job in his district, but he doesn't make good decisions in his personal life sometimes, and this is obvious with what's going on with the check situation, and he didn't make a very good decision hiring Brian Matthews. Brian Matthews, for the second time, has thrown Dan Johnson under the bus, as we announced last night. You know, Johnson went on record saying that he has been paying back money to Gus Goldsmith, and part of that money was Brian Matthews' own loan through Action Loan with Gus Goldsmith. And then Matthews said that he didn't know anything about that and basically called Johnson a liar in so many words. That's the second time he's called his boss a liar. What we do know is this. Last year, Matthews was in some serious trouble himself over what? Bouncing checks. Matthews, in February of 2013, was in court on a misdemeanor charge of theft by deception using cold checks of less than $500. He owed $226 debt to an auto repair company. He wrote him a check that bounced. He agreed to repay the debt this summer, according to his attorney, James Craig. Why did it take him almost, you know, over a year to do this? At the same time, he agreed to finally repay this $226 debt rather than go to court and take whatever punishment they meted at him. You know, Dan Johnson hired him at a higher salary than his previous legislative aide. Matthews is now making $51,000 a year, and it's actually more than Johnson makes, who makes a little bit over $45,000. So, you know, you look at all of this, and you have to wonder about the peas in a pod. What is the connection between Matthews and Johnson? Because something clearly does not add up here. Either way, Tom McAdams says the Edelman jury is going to be paid. What happens with the Gus Goldsmith case, I don't know. But Dan Johnson, like I said, you know, please use part of your discretionary money. I think it's a valid expense as a Metro Councilman to audit your Metro Council finances so you can take any question out of the equation as far as whether it's believable or not. Get a private outside auditor. It shouldn't cost that much to do it, you know, and eliminate the question. Because that's the one thing I do think he has done well is work with his constituency. You know, I have not done open records on Dan Johnson. I have not had a reason to, so that ought to tell you something. However, we may end up going down that road. If Jim King is one who does the audit, then, you know, we will go down that road and start looking at it ourselves because I think it's important. Second story of the day coming out of Louisville. GE, as we mentioned a couple of weeks ago, GE is looking to get rid of, you know, GE's appliance park. They want to get rid of their appliance business. They have been actively shopping for people to buy it. They did just a couple of years ago in 2008, but nobody would buy it then. Well, now apparently it's being reported that Electrolux is looking to buy GE's appliance business. We don't know what the exact deal on that is. We know that the local workers are very concerned about it, as they should be. Currently, GE is employing about 6,000 people at Appliance Park, which is way down, less than a third of what it was in its heyday. But, you know, we're going to see what they do. GE invested $1 billion over the last 5 or 6 years. I don't know what deal they're making with Electrolux, but we're going to stay tuned and close to that. And, you know, I think the workers at GE have a right to be concerned because, as we know, Jeffrey Immelt, the head of GE, the CEO, is nothing but anti-American, in my opinion. We have a nice video on the on our YouTube channel at Louisville Politics, you know, discussing the failures of the Obama administration and the energy things, and part of those failures is Jeffrey Immelt. You know, Barack Obama chose Jeffrey Immelt to be his jobs czar, if you will, and promised us all these jobs, but at the same time, Jeffrey Immelt got rid of over 30,000, or almost 30,000 American jobs, and hired over 30,000 people in China. He got rid of American jobs and went on a hiring spree in China. So this guy was supposed to be Barack Obama's jobs czar and know what business is all about in America and know, you know, how to create jobs. and he's done nothing but get rid of American jobs and outsource them overseas. So I think the workforce definitely has something to be concerned about at GE if this acquisition rumor is true and Electrolux does follow through. You know, another interesting story that we popped up. I tell you, folks, we continue getting a run of all the bad news in the world. Last night, we told everybody that Kentucky was ranked the 10th worst retirement state in the country. We were the 10th worst to retire to in the country for a multitude of reasons. We know that we're the worst tax, one of the worst tax states. We're one of the worst tax cities in America. We're right at the top of the list on both of those. We have the least happiness and the top 10 of the least happy places to live here in Louisville and everything. I mean, there's nothing positive coming from any national surveys or anything else being done. And now we get another one. Kentucky is the 5th poorest state in America, according to thestreet.com. The median household income here in Kentucky is $41,000. We've got a 19.4% poverty rate. Over 18% of Kentucky residents receive food stamps, and our unemployment rate is above 8%. You know, so we are in the top 5 of the poorest states in the country. Can somebody give me some good news here about where we live? And we have to continue to ask ourselves, if we are at the bottom, or we're at the top of every bad poll, the concerns, I mean, retirement, you know, wealth, happiness, taxes, you know, the list goes on and on. We wonder why we're having a problem bringing business to Kentucky. We're wondering why we're having a problem bringing business to Louisville. Then I have to tell you, folks, all of these things are what's destroying our opportunities in this city and this state. It's just the truth. I hate to give you information like this. I know it bothers you, and everybody thinks I'm on a mission here to make it even worse. I'm not. I'm on a mission to inform you. I'm on a mission to tell you the problems that we've got, and these are things that everybody in the nation are looking at and knows. Every business across the country, and indeed across the world, thanks to the Internet, who would even think about relocating to the U.S. if that's where they wanted to come from, is overseas. They're going to see this stuff. You think they're going to relocate to Kentucky or Louisville? Come on. You're going to pay higher prices for everything, and you're going to get the shaft with your business because of failed leadership. So you have to ask yourself, who has been the leadership here for all of decades? I mean, seriously, go back decades, years and years and years. Louisville has been run by nothing more than what I consider to be the Democratic Mafia. And Kentucky consistently has to have the Democratic governor. They have to have a Democratic attorney general. I mean, everybody at every stage of government who you can hold accountable or who makes decisions just happen to be Democrats and have been for decades. So when you look at the problems that Kentucky faces, then let's look at the obvious problem. We continue talking about how we need change in this country. We continue talking about how we need change, period, in elected leadership, yet we continue electing the one party that continues to screw us up. They continue bringing us down, not up. We really, really have to pay attention to that in this upcoming election and in the governor's race next year as well. We don't need another Democrat in the governor's office. We've already given Greg Fisher the mayor's job for another 4 years because he's essentially running out of polls. Yeah, I know he's got a Republican candidate, but nobody's going to vote for Bob DeVore. Come on, Bob DeVore is a nut job, in my opinion. He runs for everything he can put his name on if there's not going to be any competition there, just so he can say he ran a race. He brings nothing to the table that's worthwhile. He's not a legitimate candidate. I mean, he's a legitimate candidate on the ballot, but he's not a legitimate candidate in the mind to most voters. That's the reality of the situation, in my opinion. So we've got to deal with that. Make some changes. It's very, very important to get involved at the election booth because otherwise we're going to end up just like that clip I played a minute ago, a demo man. Everybody's going to be a 47-year-old virgin sitting around listening to the radio singing, "I want an Oscar Mayer wiener." I mean, come on. Come on. Now let's move on to some more serious stuff. And I tell you, this is very serious and very personal to me. As we know, we've got some major problems in Ferguson, Missouri, right there in St. Louis. A black man was killed, a black youth, 18 years old, was shot and killed by a police officer, presumably white. They have not listed any information about the police officer. They have not went public with that as of that I know of as of now. But we can assume that the officer was white because 70% of the St. Louis police force and the police force in that area is white. So statistically speaking, we're going to say this is a white officer shooting a black kid. What's really disturbing is how the citizens are behaving like animals. I mean, it really is. And I understand if this is a bad shooting, and all indications are that it probably is a bad shooting, that this officer was wrong, you know, take his butt and take everything he's got, put his ass in jail for murder. Got no problem with that. I don't care if you got a badge or not. If you're going to shoot an unarmed person that's running away from you, you know, that's murder. Period. The end. So I've got no problem with people being upset, calling for this cop's head. I've got no problem with protests or anything like that. What I do have a problem with is the way that these thugs in the community have went out and tried to act like they're so offended that it justifies destroying property, burning down a donut shop because the business just happened to be in front of where the kid was shot at. Are you serious? Now not only do you have a young black man who, for all indications, was going to be a pretty good guy, who's going to start school in 2 days of college, now you've just eliminated jobs at that place. So you put more black people on the street. You put more citizens out of work at a time when jobs are scarce, and that business owner had absolutely nothing to do with the shooting by this cop. But all of a sudden, it's okay to go out. And I have to tell you this, folks, it's going to sound racist. I appreciate that. I get that. Anybody who knows me on a personal level knows I am as far from racist as you could possibly imagine. But I got to tell you, when it's nothing but angry black mobs that are out there destroying property, all right, that presumably are the ones behind the arson and burning the buildings down and stealing stuff just because they can, that should be alarming to not only our America as a whole, but it should be very alarming to the black man as well. I mean, let's call the truth here. Even Jesse Jackson's and Al Sharpton's, you know, these so-called civil rights leaders who never show up, you know, for something like this to tell people to calm down, no. But even these guys have got to understand that the perception, of what these folks are doing is destroying any positive look for the people of America at the black community at large. It's guilt by association. I'm sorry. I know that's wrong. This was a bad cop who did a bad thing from all reports. But do you as a community go out, because you're in a primarily black community, do you as a community go out and destroy property, burn down businesses that cost the jobs that your community needs because unemployment is so high and nobody's making money, and get seen on TV acting like a damn fool? Why would you do that? Why would you do that? For those racist civil rights leaders, you know, got to say hi to our good friend Paul in the chat room. He just decided to send me a hola, senor. You know, but for those guys that are going out doing this and trying to sell racism, the white man is keeping us down, you know, and we shall overcome, and talking about all this racist crap and trying to live 50 or 60 years ago, you know, they should be ashamed of themselves. This is what has been created. The mindset of these people have fallen into the lies and hypocrisy and the ridiculousness of those like Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton. They're teaching their kids this stuff. The mentality of these people don't necessarily mean black folks. Let's not get in here. See what he means? He's saying these people, he's racist. That's not racist. That's just truth. In this case, you've got hundreds of black people in mobs destroying property, burning down buildings because they're pissed off about a cop shooting a black kid. You have every right to be pissed off. You have every right to protest peacefully. But what in the hell gives you the right to sit out there and act like criminal thugs and embarrass the black community like that? That is what's disturbing about this. I don't understand it. And everybody, well, it's your white. You don't know what it's like to be held down and not get ahead. You guys ain't got a damn clue. I was brought up in the same poverty most people bitch about now. And I fought my way out of it. And I didn't have any extra daggone great things going my way because I was white. In fact, in the 70s and 80s, when I was trying to get ahead, I had the white man putting their thumb on the top of my head telling me I couldn't get ahead because I wasn't black. Welcome to affirmative action. I gave up a career job because of affirmative action, because it was clear that I couldn't get ahead because of it. So I'm a white man who suffered. You can think about that all you want to, but I didn't blame society. I didn't blame the black man. I didn't blame anybody. I went out and I worked my ass off, and I made myself get ahead. I was brought up dirt poor. My family was on food stamps. I was Section 8 back in the 70s. So we lived 12 of us in one single daggone 900-square-foot house with no basement. 12 people. I slept under a sofa sleeper on a damn floor in a living room for 4.5 years until I was old enough to get the hell out of there. I've struggled. I paid my dues, but I didn't blame anybody for it. And that's the problem. For you guys that are out there in St. Louis right now, they're creating all this havoc because you're pissed off at an officer for shooting a black kid, you know, great, be pissed off. But control your rage. Don't sit out there and feed the bullshit about the white man and you think you got some right to destroy all this stuff and do things this way. Because all you're doing is bringing disrespect, mistrust within the black community by white people that you want to blame anyway. But there's a hell of a lot of daggone black people I really, truly call great friends of mine. We don't look at color. We look at people. And my black friends stand with me, and I'm not going to mention their names because I've talked to quite a few over the last couple of days. We are all as disturbed as anybody about that shooting. But you don't do stuff like that. Have pride in yourself. And quite honestly, I've got to tell you this. It's not unusual, and it would not surprise me one bit, if half the daggone people or more than half of the people that are doing all this rioting and destruction of property and everything else came in from somewhere else besides the neighborhood. The neighborhood doesn't want to see their neighborhoods destroyed. That's where they live. They don't want to walk through burnt, abandoned buildings and everything else. You live there. So I have a hard time believing that the neighborhood people themselves are the ones behind all of this. As typical and as usual in a lot of cases, you're going to find people coming in. We had examples of that here in Louisville many years ago when we had Broadway Derby cruising. Had a couple of murders one year. Turns out we were importing victims. A couple of druggies coming from Cincinnati came into Louisville for Broadway cruising. They had a problem with each other. So there was a shooting and they were killed. Oops. The guy came in from Cincinnati, was killed by a daggone druggy gang member that came in from Cincinnati to shoot him. And then he went back home and acted like nothing ever happened. You're going to find that happens a lot in times of turmoil in your community, and that's what we've got to fight back for. So I'm asking the neighborhood people to step up. Now, to get into everything that's really going on, Governor Jay Nixon said he was going to visit St. Louis on Thursday, which would have been today. Have not seen the story on that. I apologize. I got in too late to follow up on it before the show. But what's really, really interesting here, you know, 2 years ago I was arrested by cops who didn't want to be filmed. They didn't want their picture taken. I am a newsman, for lack of a better word. I do news. I've got a news website. I've got a news radio show and an opinion radio show that you're listening to right now. Two cops decided that they wanted to arrest me when they were trying to jack up my son illegally. And they arrested me for saying, sir, can I have your name? Oh, by the way, I had a cell phone in my hand with a camera on it. As soon as they saw the cell phone, they came over and arrested me for obstruction. A couple of days later, the chief of police called me and apologized. But in this town, politics rule. And when you piss off the county attorney and some of the most powerful people in Democratic politics here, they make you suffer. So I was illegally arrested, Got an apology from the chief of police here, Steve Conrad, and much kudos to him for doing the right thing. The officers were reprimanded after an investigation by the police department. Again, kudos to Steve Conrad for making sure things were done right. But the charges were with me for a year and a half because the county attorney was pissed off because I've called him out publicly, Michael Connell. Presumably his good friend Jim King was helping him try to keep it alive. I don't know. So for a year and a half, I'm unemployable. I have charges hanging over me, even though the cops were found guilty by their own internal investigation through public affairs. The chief had apologized and everything else, done everything he could to try to get me to relax and let it go, but this damn county attorney kept it up. So you can imagine my surprise when I realized that the police that I had been supporting my whole life, that the two rogue cops decided they were going to be a Gestapo. Well, the same thing happened in St. Louis. It's very interesting. Wednesday, there were two reporters arrested, and there was also tear gassing of an Al Jazeera America camera crew. Apparently the police decided they were going to order the media to turn off their cameras and leave. A lot of people did. CNN, according to the CNN report that I'm using as a example here, CNN crews were not ordered to turn off their cameras during the protest. Imagine that. CNN gets special privileges, right? But after these guys were told to order the protesters and the reporters to turn off their cameras, the police decided they were going to fire smoke bombs, tear gas, and rubber bullets immediately. They arrested, they arrested two reporters and cameramen. And it's fascinating. It's fascinating. They also raised their guns yelling for people to turn back. Now, I ask you, is that America? Is that what we're supposed to have in America? When did we become the savages that we always see on the news and blame other countries for? When did we become a Gestapo and tell the whole world that we can violate your First Amendment rights to try to order you because I happen to be a cop with a badge that you have to turn off your camera? When did we do all of this? When did we become that America? So you got tear gas everywhere, rubber bullets or rubber pellets being fired in all directions, officers in riot gear, running towards all these people to get rid of them. Reporters are being arrested. You got to ask yourself, folks, what the hell is going on? What the hell is going on? CNN crews were allowed to keep filming. But Wesley Lowery of the Washington Post and Ryan Riley of the Huffington Post, who had been covering the shooting all along, was arrested. They were later released and weren't charged. I wonder why they weren't charged. They were actually taken into custody at a McDonald's restaurant. an officer told them to pack up their gear and move on. And according to Lowery, from the time he was told to pack up his gear and move on, in less than two minutes, folks, they came after them and arrested them because they weren't packing up quickly enough. And the Ferguson police chief, of course, is trying to hide all the information by going on record saying that he didn't know who the detaining officers were because they had a lot of different agencies out there. Well, I think we, the people, have a right to know who those detaining officers were. Just as I put out about the two detaining officers who illegally arrested me. Dustin Hinke and Brandon Wood of Louisville Metro Police Department. They were two Gestapo cops. So here we've got a cop shooting an 18-year-old black man in the back, running away, unarmed. Then we've got cops thinking that they can tell reporters and everything else what they have to do or what they can do, trying to order them to leave, and they weren't leaving fast enough, so they were arrested. What the hell is going on in this country? Seriously. Now, I want to point out for the record here that in no way, shape, or form am I attacking all officers. I know that one of our hosts has something against all police. I'm not that guy. Quite frankly, I consider a hell of a lot of police officers in this town and across the state my good friends. I inherently believe that 98% of all officers are dynamite officers who wouldn't be caught in a situation like this start a situation like this. I also believe in every business you have a rogue band of people who are always going to be a problem and cause problems no matter what you do. The people involved in this situation in St. Louis are the ones causing the problem, just like the two officers here, Brandon Wood and Dustin Hinkey, are the ones causing the problems in my life and a few others that I've since come up with. We're not talking about a majority of police here, folks. We're talking about a minority. But then we have to ask ourselves, does this give you permission to go out and destroy property and hurt people like they're doing now in St. Louis? I mean, it's nuts. It really is. You know, and the Ferguson police, I mean, quite honestly, they're not even giving out the guy's identity. Tell the people who it is. Why won't they do it? Well, they're scared that he might suffer some backlash and be targeted, might get hurt himself or shot. When have they ever cared about that with any citizen or anybody else? Tell everybody the name. Post his picture all over the news like you do everybody else's. Get it over with. We're going to find out. And now we're going to be holding against all the police in St. Louis because this police chief won't do his damn job. And out this guy. So now every police officer is going to be guilty by association. Paul, you're right. Our good friend Paul is telling me that it's St. Louis County Police. You're right, Paul. But now every cop is going to be guilty by association because of one bad cop. One bad cop. Not every cop. Just one bad cop. And in my opinion, he is a bad cop for doing what he did. Now, there are conflicting stories here. Let's make sure we put that out as well. According to what few details the police will put out there, the police chief is saying that the officer who shot his gun and killed this guy was defending himself. He said that Mr. Brown, the gentleman that was shot, was trying to grab his weapon. And after the incident was over, the officer was sent to a hospital because he had facial swelling. But he would not say how he received the wounds. Think about that. He's defending himself against an effort from somebody trying to grab his weapon. And he goes to the hospital with facial swelling, but he didn't say how he received the wounds. Does that pass your smell test? It certainly doesn't pass mine. On the flip side, there's two witnesses to this who told CNN that Brown did appear to tussle with the officer before he was shot, but he was accused by the officer of entering his police cruiser, and that's what the police are saying, and that wasn't true. That wasn't true. So we've got to look at this. All indications are that everything we're being told doesn't pass the smell test. Dorian Johnson, 22 years old, was the friend who was with Mr. Brown. He told CNN that they were walking in the middle of the street when a white male officer, this is why we believe the officer is white, a white male officer pulled up and told them to get the fuck on the sidewalk. He said, according to Mr. Johnson, he turned around and told the cop, we're only a minute away from where we're going. We'll be out of the street in just a second. The officer drove forward, then decided to stop and back up, and almost hit them when he backed up. Again, this is CNN reporting. According to this report, Mr. Johnson also says that when an officer backed up, they were only inches away from the side of his car. He tried to ram his car door open real aggressively, but because they were standing so close to where he stopped, the door hit him and Mike Brown and closed back on the officer. Folks, that's believable. I'm sorry. I've actually seen that happen. Okay? So he backs up, gets beside him, backs up right next to him, goes open his door, but they're too close, he can't get his door open. He pushes it open real quick, but it hits them and comes back at him. So what does he do? According to Dorian, the officer grabbed Mike Brown by the neck
And when he grabbed Mike Brown by the neck through his window, Brown tried to pull away, but the cop kept trying to pull him toward him. Then, according to Dorian, the cop drew his gun and said, "I'll shoot you or I'm going to shoot," and automatically fired his weapon. He hit Brown the first time. Brown had broke loose, so him and Johnson took off running. Johnson jumped behind a car, but he didn't want to get shot. The cop got all the way out of his car with his gun drawn, fired another shot that hit Mike Brown. Mike Brown turned around with his hands up, told the officer he was unarmed and to please stop shooting, but the cop by that time was so pissed off he kept firing more shots. And he killed Mike Brown, and he died right there on the street. What was this death for? What was this shooting for? Cop having a bad day? If Dorian Johnson's story is correct, cop is guilty of murder. And I agree with the anger, folks. I'm not denying that. I just don't agree with the rioting and the looting and everything else. But there were other witnesses. Tiffany Mitchell witnessed Brown and the officer roughhousing through the window. She calls it tussling. So that matches the Dorian Johnson story, right? The officer grabs Brown by the neck and Brown's trying to pull away. According to Tiffany Mitchell and Padgett Crenshaw, who are the two witnesses in this case, they agree with Johnson, saying Brown was trying to pry himself. It looked like he was trying to pry himself away. Brown had his hand on a police cruiser, trying to push herself away. She says she went to reach for her phone to record it, but as soon as she grabbed her phone to record it, there was a shot fired through the window, so she took off trying to get the hell out of the way. Turned around, and they saw Brown break free and take off running. But he got only 20 feet from the squad car. Cop got out of his vehicle shooting. He turned around, put his hands up. The cop continued to fire until it was dead and hit the concrete. We're spending an awful lot of time on this, and I get that. But these are the facts that we know. None of us were there. At least I wasn't. Some of you may have been, because I know we've got a lot of listeners in St. Louis that we really appreciate there in Missouri. But the reality is, you don't make up for a kid being killed. You can't make up a death. You can't bring them back to life. What you can do is hold those persons that are responsible for it accountable. That's what we have a legal system for. To sit here and act like a bunch of wild dogs and animals and literally destroy your own neighborhood, looting, pillaging, arson, you name it, property destruction. Why in the hell would you do that? Why in the hell would you let CNN film that crap and put it all over the news? A bunch of black mobs sitting there destroying property and everything else because they're angry that something happened that they didn't approve of. It's called life, folks. Something happens every day in life that you may or may not approve of. But if this is the way you react, then how can you sit there and claim anybody is holding you down? How can you sit here and blame anything? You can't blame looting. You can't blame destroying people's property. You can't blame burning down a donut shop on anyone but yourself. You wanted a free TV you saw in a window. This was a great opportunity to break out the window and go get it. You're as much of a criminal as that cop was who shot this unarmed child. And that's what really makes this whole thing pathetic. It's bad enough that it's disturbing enough to know that this cop, for whatever reason, decided he was going to take this boy's life. Now, we don't know everything about Mike Brown's history. We hear the same story about Mike Brown that we have heard 1,000 times from other people. He was getting ready to go to school. He had his whole life ahead of him. He was keeping up. Did he have a criminal record? I don't know. I don't really care. He was an unarmed man trying to get away from an over-aggressive cop who was trying to jack him up for no reason. Put his hands in the air, and the cop unloaded anyway. Had been shot at least once by the time he put his hands up, and the cop still continued. There's no doubt the officer was the aggressor here based on what we know now. That may change later if we find out more. But that does not justify the aftermath. You want to go pillage and loot and do stupid stuff? Go to Al Sharpton's house or Jesse Jackson's house. And yeah, I know I'll get chastised for that. I'm saying everybody should go to Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton's house and tear their place up. No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just trying to make a point here. Because it's those guys and those people like them, the false civil rights activists who are continuing to sit out there and tell the black community that they aren't worth as much as the white man and forcing them to believe that crap. They profit from it. Jesse Jackson and Al Sharpton aren't poor and living in the projects. They aren't poor and living in the inner cities. Both of those guys have profited handsomely by telling you how bad your life is and then helping to make sure it stays that way. And all the other leaders just like them that have done the same thing in every community. This is a situation, a tragic situation, that should have never happened because one guy got pissed, a cop got pissed, because a kid told him, we're almost where we're going, we'll be off the street in just a second. And because they didn't jump and kiss his butt and shine his badge and shoes for him, he got pissed off and wanted to exert some sort of a macho control. That's all this was. He screwed up, he'll be held accountable for it. But for the love of God, quit holding the whole community accountable. I tell you, it's just disturbing. It's just disturbing. I spent a lot more time on this story than I wanted to tonight. But there are a couple of things that we still need to get to. At least one in particular that really is, it's amazing. And I really want to talk about illegal immigration for a minute. And I tell you why. Well, let's talk about Iraq. And I tell you why. Barack Obama, as we pointed out many times, has lied to the American people about Iraq from the very beginning. Here's a small clip for you to listen to.
So we've ended the war in Iraq. I've kept the commitments that I've made. I told you we'd end the war in Iraq. We did.
Remind them that this is the president that ended the war in Iraq.
You know I say what I mean, and I mean what I say. I said I'd end the war in Iraq. I ended it.
He has taken good care of our men and women in uniform. He has ended the war in Iraq.
I mean what I say, and I say what I mean.
That's enough for you to hear. I mean, I could let that go on forever. And there's a reason I put all that out there. That what you just heard was Barack Obama, Michelle Obama, Bill Clinton, and even Joe Biden chimed in, but I got tired of listening to it. Talking about what a great thing Barack Obama did. He's ended the war in Iraq and all these other things. What you don't probably realize is all those statements were made in 2012. In 2012, during his reelection campaign, he was taking credit for ending the war in Iraq, how he accomplished all this, and what a great guy he was. He fulfilled his promises, blah, blah, blah. But that's not necessarily true, is it? Because last week, he was asked about the war in Iraq, and does he regret ending the war in Iraq now that we are probably going to have to go back in there? His answer was, I don't know why everybody thinks I had the authority to do that. It wasn't his decision. And when he's running for election, he can sit there and take credit for ending the war in Iraq. It's all him to cause the end of war in Iraq. But now that it came back to bite him in the butt, he wants to sit there and say that it wasn't his decision. I don't know about you guys, but I have a real problem with that. A real problem with that. And, you know, especially looking at what we're doing now, we have started bombing in Iraq once again. George Bush was chastised for that, remember? George Bush was chastised for bombing in Iraq. We're doing the wrong thing. Barack Obama started bombing in Iraq, and miraculously, mainstream news isn't calling him on the carpet. Imagine that, right? Ben Rhodes, President Obama's deputy national security advisor, also told reporters yesterday that the U.S. would consider using ground troops in Iraq. Let's look at that. Remember, this is the president who said he ended the war in Iraq, took full credit for it, who now says it wasn't his decision, so he doesn't want credit for it. Got a Nobel Peace Prize and has been bombing Iraq with 500-pound bombs for the last few days and is now considering using ground troops in Iraq. Folks, tell me where this is leadership. It's nothing more to me than lies and repeated poor behavior, but we've gotten used to that, haven't we? We've gotten used to that. I tell you, it is, man, it has become apparent for those who have sat back so long and not really paid attention that this president really doesn't have a clue. He has no foreign policy. Hillary Clinton, of all people, who aided and abetted the Barack Obama administration in her role as Secretary of State, is now doing everything she can to distance herself from President Obama, saying that Obama's foreign policy was, don't do something stupid. And she says, that's not a policy. He didn't know what he was doing, basically, is what she's saying now. Yet this is the same person who is directly involved in a lot of the problems, Benghazi. As Secretary of State, she was involved, should have been involved with Syria, and we ignored Syria. Why wasn't she shouting from the rooftops then? You know, ISIS, or is now IS, started in Syria and grew from there because we ignored it. We have funded these people. We have funded Hamas and the other terrorists around the nation. Hamas, of course, are the ones who are attacking Israel. Billions of dollars, folks. President Obama, it wasn't his decision. Hillary Clinton now takes no credit either. And Hillary Clinton is the front runner at this point for the Democratic nomination to be president. And when I think about that, I have to go back to her 2008 primary run against Barack Obama. And one campaign commercial that's become pretty famous. That campaign commercial, she went through attacking Barack Obama and touting her experience, and it ended with, who do you want to answer the phone at 3 a.m.? And I have to stand here today and tell you folks, the same as I told you then, none of the above. We've got a president with a Nobel Peace Prize who takes credit for ending a war that he had nothing to do with because he didn't end any war, who is now out there shelling and killing innocent civilians, who is now willing to put U.S. troops back on the ground for any reason. He says it's just to help the refugees that are trapped on a mountain. That's the extent of it. It doesn't matter what the excuse is. He has lied and manipulated and hurt us all. At the same time, we've got a serious national security problem here on U.S. soil that we call illegal immigration. I just put a link in the chat room a second ago. Our good friends over at Project Veritas, I love these guys. They do a lot of things to prove the fallacies of our own government's lies. They were the ones behind all the illegal voting. They were putting out tapes showing how easy it was to illegally vote and how these Democratic poll workers were telling them how to illegally vote and letting them vote, you know, when they had no legality to do so. Well, now they've put out another one showing us how easy it is to get across the border. There are 98 miles of unguarded fence on the border of Texas right now. That's why Rick Perry put the National Guard down there. And the places where they do have a fence, they don't matter. They've even got a bridge that they use to walk across a shallow river and walk up the hillside, and you're on American soil with no wall, no nothing to stop you. There's not an agent. There's not a wall. There's nothing. And it also includes an interview with a sheriff there. So I urge you to check out the link in the chat room for those of you who are there right now. And yet, I'm still confused. So let me end the show this way. We talk constantly about taking America back. A lot of people ask what that means. What are you going to take America back from? You're so full of crap. America's America. When I talk about taking America back, I'm referring to taking America back to a time where we respected the Constitution, where we respected each other, where we protected Americans at all cost, where we were united as one in freedom and liberty. That's the America I remember being raised in. I'm sure we did. But the America today is one I don't recognize in many ways. When I see one bad cop, not every cop is bad, folks, but when I see one bad cop sitting out there shooting an unarmed kid, it disturbs the hell out of me. But the savages who are destroying the town because of it scare me more. And as a society, we have to grow up from that. As a society, we have to get back to some rule of law and remember morals, values, ethics, and integrity. This cop will get his due in a court of law. That's the rule of law. I have no doubt about that. If they want to try him for murder based on the evidence we've seen, it's probably a pretty good charge. There may be more that we don't know yet, so I'm not saying that either. But for those who are saying that this justifies their actions in St. Louis or Ferguson, that one rogue cop justifies their actions to run around and act like savages, you are the same criminal that cop was. So if we're going to go ahead and take that cop and charge him with murder, we've got plenty of film of people breaking windows and destroying property. We need to identify those people, turn them into the police, let them be charged for something as well. But it's going to be up to the black community to make that happen because the perpetrators were black and in a town that is 90% black. Sorry, guys. It's not racism when you're telling the truth. So the real test for me at this point, the real test for me is to see if the black community stands up and holds these savages accountable for their actions. I understand we're all pissed about a cop. I'm one of them. But when the police feel empowered that they can shoot an unarmed teenager, then they feel empowered to arrest reporters and don't respect that thing we call the Constitution and the First Amendment, then we have strayed from the America that I remember and know and love. We have strayed seriously from the America that I joined the military and served. Freedom isn't free. You have to fight for it. So the challenge now is to see if you're willing to fight for America if you're willing to fight for truth, if you're willing to fight for morals, values, ethics, and integrity, or are you willing to allow yourself to be drawn into a sinkhole because of these asinine civil rights so-called leaders who have been destroying our communities forever? Stand tall, stand proud, do the right thing, and let's make it better for all of us. That's it for tonight, folks. I'm out for the rest of the week. Don't forget to join our good friend Ken Mulman Sunday night with the Liberty Unbridled, of course, our favorite libertarian, I got to tell you. And I will be back on Monday night with Mr. Ed Martin to bring you all the latest news and views and opinions that we just love to share with you. In the meantime, check out LouisvillePolitics.com. Don't forget to join the email list and the RSS feed. Don't forget to make a nice handy donation. We can always use the help. And with that said, have a great week, folks. A great weekend, I should say. God bless you all. Take care.